Alice and I, I'm David, by the way. Alice and I are the senior pastors here. We want to lead a church which takes people who want to be disciples of Jesus and nurtures and equips them and gives them a base from which to go and change the world. And I'm going to want to talk to you a little bit about discipleship a little bit later on and over the coming 2 or 3 weeks. But that thing about equipping and nurturing disciples and sending them out to change the world might be to your neighbor, or it might be to somebody next to you at work. It might be your family. It might be abroad. I just want to talk about our up-and-coming week of prayer and fasting for a moment. But in my main thing that I want to talk about, discipleship today, some of you are going to find it not that comfortable. Or maybe not so much not comfortable, but you're going to feel God prompting you to respond. And I just want to prime you that you may want to think in terms of what do I need to do? How do I need to respond to this? Before we get to that, Hannah, have you got any of those leaflets? Can I have one, please? We're just a couple of times a year we have a week of prayer and fasting, and this year, September, we're calling it a week without, in order to. And so this is an opportunity for us all to pray together and to join in together, even though we're doing it on our own, at the same time, the same subject. Thank you. So on your way out, you'll pick up one of these, if you like. You can download it off the website as well, and it'll be Facebooked and tweeted and things. But there's some spaces in the back where I'd love you to fill in what you feel the Lord's saying to you, and then in 2 weeks' time, I'd love you to feed back. We'll allocate the morning time together to what God is saying to us. The way we're going to do this, what I'm inviting you to do is to choose to fast as in one way or another, and if you're not sure what I mean by fasting or you want some ideas about it, just go to the website, plug in fast, and there's a load of articles and resources there that you can read and might give you some ideas. When I refer to the website, by the way, if you're not on the web, that's fine. Just let Hannah or me or somebody know, and we'll make sure you get paper copies. So I want you to do three things. I want you to, a week without, but I want you to go to God, go without with someone else, and go next door. Now, what I mean by this is that each day this week, I suggest you take a little time early in the day to go to God. And each day I've given you a psalm that you can use to meditate on. You can use Lectio Divina. That's all on the website as well if you want some help on that. And use it as a time to approach him with whatever is on your heart. And then I want you to think about going without with someone else. What I mean by that is somebody else who has less than you do. Maybe somebody that Gwen works with as a CAP client. Maybe somebody you know who is in poverty of some sort. At a debt advice center when they're getting out of debt, they have to go without as part of the rest getting restored. Okay, what do they have to go without? Perhaps you'd like to identify with them and go without. Maybe leave your car in the drive for a week and get around some other way. Maybe go without cable TV. Maybe wear the same clothes all week. Some of you do that anyway. And if you save any money, perhaps you like to give it to the Vine to help with the Debt Advice Center and the Child Contact Center. So go without identifying with somebody else. Maybe somebody you know, maybe generic. And then I'd like you to think about going next door. And there's a space on here to ask the Lord to prompt you about a neighbor. Now, that could be a next door neighbor. It could be a work neighbor. It could be a neighbor in Ruth's sense of overseas, somewhere abroad. But where does he want you to do an act of kindness? Or where does he want to send you? It might be a small thing, making a cake for somebody. It might be a big thing, changing your career. I want you to give God permission to speak to you about going to your neighbor. Okay? So that's for the next week. It starts tomorrow morning, finishes on Saturday. It's almost a week anyway. Please use those. Keep the pieces of paper, stick them on your fridge or something, and then bring them back in 2 weeks' time, and we'll see what the Lord said about I know some of you, I don't think she's here yet today, but there's somebody who keeps going on to me about, I think God wants me to buy a van out of which we can feed some of the homeless in Leeds. Yeah? Or it might be that God's called you to adopt children, or whatever it is, let's hear your vision, what God has put on your heart about going to your neighbor. in order to go out and do that, we gather. So we scatter, but in order to scatter, we gather. We get together, and we get together in a large group like this, and we get together in small groups. Next week, we're going to be looking at small groups. This week, I just want to reflect for 10 or 15 minutes about being in a big group and why this is important to our discipleship. It's going to be dead exciting to hear about where we might scatter, but let's, from now, just think about how we gather. Let's turn our thoughts to this expression of the church community. Would you like to, if you've got a Bible with you, turn to Psalm 96. Psalm 96, it's almost exactly in the middle of the Bible. Now, you might have it on your gadget. You might have it written down. But whatever you've got, I bet it's not as big as mine. This has got extra big print for my eyesight. It's no more true than yours, though. Okay, it's the same words. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations. His marvelous deeds among all peoples, just like Ruth is doing, and we can do here. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that's in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. I've been struck in particular by the middle verses in that passage. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due to his name. Verse 8, bring an offering and come into his courts. There are several psalms like this, which are sort of calls to worship. And it reflects the sense of a community who are having a good time with God, but some of them are having not such a good time with God, but they are looking forward to get together. Let's get together. Let's come and bring an offering. Let's come to his courts. Let's get together and worship and celebrate and tell the story. It's not a, when it talks about bringing an offering and coming into the courts of the Lord in verse 8, he's not just talking about a financial offering. He's talking about an offering of ourselves. What are we bringing into the courts? In the New Testament, after Jesus ascended, you'll remember he sent his Holy Spirit and the church was inaugurated in Acts chapter 2. And towards the end of Acts chapter 2, it has this description, this familiar description of the early church. They devoted themselves, Acts chapter 2, 42 onwards, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to prayer and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's the same sort of picture of a celebrating community who come together with excitement about what God's doing amongst them. And it wasn't particularly complicated, really. All pretty simple. Sharing, eating together, lots of food, praying together, being taught, learning together, worshiping, and then going out to do the stuff, going out to the neighbor. And then coming back to tell the stories and celebrate and worship some more amongst all the ages, gathering and then scattering. See, doing church, doing discipleship is a team sport. You're in an orchestra. You're not a soloist. You do need time on your own to get fit if you're in a playing football or rugby or something, to sharpen your skills, to learn new things, to get your attitude right. But it's when it all comes together, when we all come together, that's when the event happens. And for us, this is the time on at weekly worship on a Sunday morning. We all come together to say thank you to God for what he's done in our lives during the week, to worship together, to chat, to pray for each other, and hopefully to be sent back out into the community, nurtured and equipped to tell people that Jesus loves them. To be disciples wherever you are, and then come back next week and tell the stories all over again. We could do it in different times and different places we have in our past. But by and large, we've discovered that Sunday mornings tend to work best for most people. If you want to play rugby, the best time is Saturday afternoon. That's the way God meant it to be. It says that in one of the Genesis somewhere. And if you want to go to the opera or orchestra, that's generally Saturday night's a great time to do that, or go to a party. Okay, Sunday morning is by and large a great time. It's not sacrosanct; it's just sensible, and you've got to pick some times, and that's the time we do it, along with most other churches. Let me just some family business, okay? If you're a guest here, if you're a first-time visitor here, you're very welcome, and I'm really glad to see you. But let me just talk to the regulars for a minute, okay? So you can just look at the ceiling. Those lights aren't on, by the way, because they've been condemned. So you could pray for the lights whilst I talk to the regulars, okay? I know that some of us find it hard to prioritize coming to weekly worship and to bring the family with us. I know that's a challenge. And I know some of you don't feel any great affinity with Headingley either, although this is where we feel God's put us. And in this place, frankly, it's hard with all these pews and doors and things. It's really important what Ben said earlier on about keeping the doors open. Some semblance of openness. we wish we had better spaces for Vineyard Kids. We'd like a sports hall and a swimming pool would be great for a start. We're constrained by the time we have together. It's hard to get things done that we want to do and to have time in worship and to minister. And we'd prefer the music to be louder or quieter or something. I mean, one way or another. Different songs, different style. You quite like the teaching, but some of you don't. Some of you think when I stand, oh, no, not him again. And some of you prefer interactive stuff, you know, getting into groups and discussing. Others of you, if I suggested that, you'd go, ah-ha-ha, and look for an excuse to get out. We want more space to hang out with each other and be friends rather than that cramped bit out there and to mingle, to read the paper. When we first started, we had lots of that. We were allowed more flexibility and creativity, and it was great. Rose-tinted glasses and all that, looking back, those of us have been around a while, it wasn't all great, okay? There were some significant challenges in all those various venues, but there were some great things as well. The truth is we're never going to have the perfect venue, but the truth is also that God has placed us here in Headingley. And when we got the invitation to use this building, that was definitely God. I think, in retrospect, he was having a bit of a laugh with me, but it's definitely God. I feel that it's a bit like a sports team or an orchestra without its own venue. So we love playing football, but we have to negotiate with other people all the time about using their pitches or playing in their music venues or whatever. And it's you know, we can't quite do what we want to do. I recognize that. But to be honest, at one level, that's all irrelevant. We're called to gather, to come to the courts. For us, it's on Sunday morning, whether we feel like it or not. Verse 8, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into the courts. To gather, to celebrate, to worship, to learn, to share, to pray, to spend time with each other, whether or not the place or the timing or the style suits us. To be honest, if you find a church that meets all your needs, be very, very careful. It's not the Vineyard. It might well be a cult. But that doesn't mean we're settling down with this situation forever. You need to know that we're addressing it, okay? And we need something different. I don't know what that looks like yet. We're actively waiting on God for his provision and his direction. I know that he'll give us what we need when we need it. He always does. But in the meantime, pursue your own walk with God, with Jesus. Do life together in small groups. We'll talk about that next week. Find somewhere to serve and express your gifting and your calling. And then bring it all together on a Sunday to celebrate with the family, to learn and to minister to each other. I'm still talking to our regulars. Discipleship, okay? Discipleship links very strongly with coming to worship together on a Sunday morning. You can self-diagnose how strong your discipleship is by the way you come here on a Sunday morning, if you come at all. If you're not here and you're listening on the podcast because you chose to go to the cricket, or you just wanted to lie in or go shopping, or you thought you should be with your family, or I just want to, that tells you something about your discipleship. As Hebrews says, do not forsake meeting together. And if something else challenges this meeting together, it's a choice, it's a discipleship choice. See, crossing this threshold, coming through that door and sitting down, who knows next to whom? I mean, it could be a really strange person you sit next to. Or going into somebody's small group and walking through the front door of a person you've never met. That's hard. It's a strange thing to do. It's not necessarily your type of people. They might not be people you know or like very much. They might be a lot older than you, a lot younger than you, or clever, or not as clever. And that's the point. We're meant to be. Part of the beauty of the church is he puts us together with people not like us and sometimes people we don't like. And it's in that very process that we grow as disciples. And the extent to which we step back and say, no, I'll just stay with my family at home or with my friends, with the people who like to do the sport that I like to do or the hobby that I like to do, we're backing off that challenge, that of discipleship challenge that God gives us to work with each other, to worship with each other, to grow together. Let's say you are here. You might take this lightly, okay, but you might be able to self-diagnose your discipleship from where you're sitting. Okay, now you may have a really good reason for sitting where you're sitting. You did not want to sit next to that person, so you sat over there. That might be. Or in Simon's case, he's on the back row because Hannah told him to sit there. Okay, so that's what he said anyway. That's you may have a very good reason, but think about where you're sitting and what does that say about your relationship with everybody else. Think about your posture. Are you looking at me, but actually at the corner of your eye doing some Candy Crush on your tablet? Okay? I'm not judging that. That's up to you. I might be a terrible speaker, but what does it tell you about your own discipleship? During worship, what was your posture? What does it tell you about your discipleship? Do you get where I'm coming from? So, when you come, let's just simplify it as coming to weekly worship. When you come and it's time, you know, and I stand up to preach and you're thinking, oh, not him again. He's rubbish. Or are you thinking, Lord, it's him again, but you can speak to me anyway. I'm open. What do you want to say to me today? Or you see Helen about to lead worship, you think, not her again. She's so drab. Oh, dreadful. Song choice is awful. Or are you saying, I'm going to get into your presence? I know Josiah died last week. I know things are tough. I feel awful. I don't know if I even believe in you, God, but I'm going to choose to be in your presence. The way you respond to that tells you a lot about your discipleship. When I say, does anybody have a word for us? You know, often at the end of worship, I just say, has anybody got a word of knowledge? Is your attitude, ooh, I wonder what somebody's going to say? Or is it, yes, I think this is what I'm going to risk saying because I think the Lord has spoken to me. Are you going to come and share and take a risk and take part? Or are you going to stand back and let everybody else do it? It says to yourself, your attitude, I don't know what your attitude is, But it says a lot about your discipleship. You're coming saying, I'm going to give to this community. Don't like them all, don't like that teacher, don't like that worship leader, but this is where God's called me, I'm going to give to it. I'm going to serve in Vineyard Kids because I want them to have a great memory of church. I want to learn from them. I'm going to help with the setup team because I want everybody else bits to work really well. So I'm going to get in there early, I'm going to come early, and I'm going to set up and help everybody. That tells you a lot about your discipleship, if that's how you're coming. Come to his courts and bring an offering. That's the offering you can bring. Let me just talk to those of you who are here for the first time, and those of you who are guests, and just a short thing, and then we're nearly finished. First of all, thank you for coming. And I know it can be really difficult. I know for some people, you'll have been in the car parked nearby, and you'll be umming and ahhing, shall I come, or on the bus. You'll have waited at the gate, and then somebody will offer you a coffee, and make a decision, do I do it or don't I? And you've come in. I know that's difficult, and it's a God thing. You're coming close to him, and he will touch you and speak to you. And that's why Rob's cafe team and Hannah's welcome team is so important. So important what they do. Because they tell the person who's the first time or second or third time, you're welcome here. Come in. Just as you are. We like you. Really important. We're not going to judge you or make you do weird things or expose you. Sit where you like. We're going to leave the back row empty so that visitors can easily slip in the back or to the side so that they can watch for a bit, because that's where a visitor wants to do. Not be forced to come and sit at the front next to me. Discipleship is many things, but one thing is gathering with the family in order to scatter. You can tell how you're doing in discipleship by examining how you respond to bring an offering and come into his courts. So, let's use the predictability and the consistency of this place and the geography of this place. Let's use it to do a couple of things. First of all, because you know it's going to be every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, whether it's snowing, whether it's sun shining, whether it's holidays or not, we're always going to be here worshiping together. You can put it in your diary. You can bank on it. And you can prioritize it. Make it the most important part. And the second thing is because you know where it's going to be, and it's very obvious, it's opposite Costa. Everybody knows where Costa is, so it's opposite Costa in Headingley. It's easy to invite your friends. You know what it's going to be like. You can apologize for the pews. You know when it's going to be. You can tell them what I'm like. You can tell them what the worship's like. And you can invite them. And you can bring them along. Because it's always going to be here. And it's going to be consistent. Those are two things you can do. So let's pray for the Lord to open up opportunities for even better places than this. To celebrate together as disciples of Jesus in Headingley. But for now, let's use this. Alice and I want to lead this church, which takes people who want to be disciples of Jesus, nurtures them, and gives them a base from which to go and change the world. So bring your life, bring your stories, come prepared to share and minister to one another. When we sing our songs, we are using the words of the song so we all together can share what God's doing. Because we haven't got time for everybody to say something, but we can sing it together. That's what we're doing. We're all celebrating our own lives as we sing a song together. Do you get it? Let's come and worship together, and let's share with one another and minister to one another. Let's make this a great place to be on Sunday mornings, because we can hear and see God at work in each other's lives and in the world around us. Yeah? Deal? So yes, David. Say it once more and say it louder. Great. You'd like to stand? We're going to pray. I think some of you just need to do business with God on that issue. So I'm just going to give some space to that, and then I want to pray for a specific group of people. And if you've got a specific word of knowledge about something for somebody here, then do come up to the front and grab me. Lord, we we're trying to be disciples. We're trying to follow you. And we're just, as we examine ourselves, we know that there are some bits that we could do better than we're doing at the moment. So we just come to you and we repent of what you've put on, the way you've pressed on our hearts today. And we say we're sorry, and we'll turn towards you, and will you help us walk towards you better than we have been doing. If that's something going on with you and you're praying something like that, it's a good thing to confess it in the right sense of the word to somebody else. Say to somebody, I came with this attitude and I feel God's convicted me about it. Just pray with me as I repent and put right, okay? So you do that in your own way at your own time. I think the Lord wants us to pray for people with stomach conditions, irritable bowel syndrome, significant ongoing chronic problems with that bit in the middle. So I don't think that's too embarrassing, so we can. There's nothing. It stops before the embarrassing bit, okay? A bit above that. So we just want to. I just want to pray for people about that. So how should we do this? If you've got a, if you'd like us to pray for you, we're not going to shout at you. We're not going to yell. We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, and we're going to speak healing over you and expect Him to heal you. If that's you and you'd like us to pray for you, would you just put your hand up wherever you are? Okay. Would you look around? There's two more people, I think, that need to put their hands up. Keep your hands up. There's two more who'd forgotten they've got a stomach condition. Okay, never mind. Right, would you like to gather, those of you who are regulars here, go and gather, keep your hands up so they know who you are. Go and gather around these people and I'll walk you through a little prayer for them. If you're not familiar with what we're doing now, that's absolutely fine. You're welcome to hover and watch and ask questions as they do it. And this is for us all. What we're here for, to pray for each other. So find somebody to go and lay hands on. Okay. Now what will happen is the person will just ask very quickly what the issue is. They don't want a diagnosis. They just want to know where it hurts, really. Then they're going to lay, if it's appropriate, lay hands on. And we'll ask the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, would you come? Now, Lord, I ask you to bring healing now. And I ask you to show your love. And I speak healing power to the middle regions of all these people. I'm not sure if that's a medical term. But I ask you to bring your healing power now. And where there's damage, would you repair the damage? Where there's a resident bug, would you zap it and heal them? Now let him come. That's it. Let the Holy Spirit come and bring his healing power. I thank you for what you're doing. I recognize that it's a bit difficult to figure out what's happened now, so I'm going to rely on those of you we're praying for. Carry on praying, but if you've seen significant healing, we'd love to. Some of you have already. You don't know that yet, but you have been healed. I'd love to know about that so we can celebrate that in the coming weeks. If you come with anything else today and you'd like us to pray for you for healing or for some other issue in your life, just come up to the front here and I'll get a nice person to come and pray with you. If you've got children, I'd like you to go and get them now, but there's no hurry to leave. Afterwards, we can pray, we can talk, we can share with each other. Thank you, Lord, for your time with us today, for blessing us. We ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit and send us out to change the world and to tell people that you love them. Amen. Have a good week.